What's up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United podcast. I am your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk. I actually haven't drank in a while, I think. I don't know why. Anyway, Drew Brees played. And with a battered roster, the Saints still did almost enough to beat the Chiefs. If only Anzalone could have recovered that fumble in the end zone. It was a tough battle, and maybe because it is the Chiefs, it's a little easier to accept than last week's loss against the Eagles. The defense continued to play as good as I think we can ask, but it just seems that this season the offense has to face more adversity than any other season of recent memory. We're going to unpack the game, we're going to get around the NFL, we're going to check in on some LSU, and we're going to get into some pick'ems before we wrap it all up with a look ahead to the Christmas game against the Schmikings. Put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Schmikings, that was a new one.
It's like Schmeagles.
Okay. I'll go with a two. Had a couple glasses of wine with dinner, and now I got a little cocktail. Nothing too crazy. It was wine down Monday for a while, so.
All right.
Taking it a little easy.
Good deal. All right, Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with maybe a one. Drinking some Michelob Ultra here, and said you hadn't drank in a while. I'm pretty sure you drank at that Eagles game.
Yeah, it's been a while. That's a week.
That's a while for him.
That's long for you.
Right? Who was it that just came? Oh, Christian Garlic. Yeah, I'm not Christian Garlic over here.
That sounds impossible. Look, props to him for doing whatever he's got to do. But man, when it came out what he drank, that just sounded impossible.
That's right. Yeah, like, a whole bottle of
six pack and a bottle of whiskey every night. It sounds like the Jerky Boys guy calling AA. Yeah, I got a six pack, and then I got about a fifth of JD, and I whacked down a six pack every night.
That's like, more Jesus. Financially impossible than anything.
Well, that's another thing too. I mean, how much is WWO paying these idiots?
I'm sure he might have been exaggerating for dramatic effect.
Had to be. That right. It's like I said. It sounds and look. You know, I drink fairly regularly. That's like that just sounds impossible to me.
Yeah. All right, watching on the live stream.
Call us, tell us.
Yeah. Tell us the truth.
Speaking of, he just vanished
actually,
out of thin air.
You know what? If he wanted to continue drinking, he could just come and join the Dome Patrol United. We don't shame you for being alcoholics. But watching on the live stream right now, we have Billy Rowell.
Rowell, that's my cousin Billy. Hey, Billy.
I have a newbie. I haven't seen him.
No more Bo at LSU. That's right, Billy. All right, so we'll get to that. But first we're going to talk about the Saints and the Chiefs in the game recap.
And so this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over.
So I have yet to listen to the instant reaction, so I don't know everything y'all talked about yesterday. But I want to start this show talking about the offensive sputter start or non-start that I think that we were down 14-0. They're down 14-0 before Drew Brees completed his first pass.
He was started 0-for-6, I believe. Yep.
Oh, wait. Vincent Burke also says, oh, holy shot. What a bad offensive outing. I think he meant shit. He censored himself.
Yeah, it was they weren't in sync, and look, you kind of figured Brees there would be some of that, but they also, I mean, they didn't put him, you know, like he was making some tough throws right off the bat instead of just some crisp like 5 yard in, just easy passes to kind of get him going. There was none of that.
Yeah, and we did talk about that a little bit. I think on the post game instant reaction, Jason had mentioned, you know, it wasn't the game plan that he expected. And we kind of talked about it a little bit, just you would figure we would kind of try to come out and maybe run the ball a little bit more at the beginning, short completions to get Drew kind of back in the swing of things. If anything, just to, control the ball and keep Mahomes off the field, you know, a little bit, but that didn't seem to be what they were doing. It's kind of odd, kind of I don't know. Didn't expect that. I don't know if they saw something on film that we didn't know or what, but whatever. Either way, it didn't work. It didn't really work.
Yeah, nothing really worked. And I know, you know, they tried to run here and there, but then it's not like you could say, well, just run the ball and it'll work. Well, they weren't running necessarily really effectively. Kamara was doing okay, but I'm still waiting for, like, has Murray had more than 10 carries since the Denver game? I don't think so. Like, we've just completely abandoned Murray.
Right. It's like, if Murray doesn't get 10 yards on his first carry, that's not going to work. Got to move on. Mm-hmm. He is not present.
He had 4 carries for 3 yards rushing. I know he had a, you know, receiving touchdown. Nice touchdown, which was, you know, which kind of shows if you can get him in space, he can run with it, you know. I don't know. The game plan didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and it was surprising to see, especially when Traquan went out and his
touchdown was a reception, by the way, not a run.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was, just said.
Yeah, okay. It was. But when Traquan went out and we're sitting here with Sanders and the Nubs at receiver, you know, you got to try to get Kamara or even Murray more, just get people more involved in the passing game to help out, because we can't rely on fucking Juwan Johnson and Lil Jordan and Tommy Lee suck ass. Like, you can't, it's not going to work. It just, it's crazy.
That's a big part of it. Right. They didn't have to worry about because I thought Kansas City's big thing was can't cover Kansas City or something. Like, what was it? Like, their defensive backs were so bad.
Yeah. They struggled against running backs out of the backfield. That was kind of the big thing.
Oh, well, not so much this time. Yeah. But so Vincent Burke's comment here, no carries to go around when we're 1 for 11 on third down. But I think, Scott, you had a comment about that in our show prep about, well, you wouldn't be 1 for 11 on third down if you had manageable third downs, if you ran the ball on first or second down.
Right.
Especially if you're getting 5 yards per run.
Well, but you weren't on all of them. You were doing on some with Kamara, but
Kamara's first 2 carries were both for 5 yards. His first 2 carries were both for 5 yards.
It was surprising to see so many pass attempts early when Breeze is coming off the injury. Like, let him get back into the flow of the game, of the game.
Yeah, and Peyton was doing that with Taysom too. It's like, I'm trying to prove he's a pocket passer. Let him play.
I'm trying to prove you prove that you can win a game?
Right. I mean, look what Jalen Hurts did again this week. It's a running quarterback. Holy shit! Let's design some real good running plays for him. We don't have to turn him into a pocket passer. We don't have receivers to throw the ball to.
Right. We should have been thrown to Kamara. And something Jason mentioned on the instant reaction show, Taysom Hill didn't get really on the field the second half of the game. You know, he was lining up at receiver and stuff in the first half. And then the second half, it was like,
I wonder if Breeze maybe took a few hits that they were like, hey, maybe
I don't know.
He took some hits. I guess he was all right. But that was funny you say that, because one of our early game plans was, let's throw to double covered Taysom Hill on a few plays. It's like,
yeah.
Triple, quadruple covered. Yeah. Drew did take
he did.
Which is, maybe we're just not used to it. He does it all the time, but we're not used to it because we'd watch too much Taysom where he doesn't throw the ball.
Well, almost to me, like, he needed to take those hits. He needed to know that he can get hit and not be scared of shit. He needs to be able, because if he's playing scared, if he's playing, oh shit, if it's not open, I'm panicking because I don't want to get hit. That's not going to work. He has to know that he can get hit and still be okay.
And I don't think. Yeah. To me, the good thing that came out of this game was, like, Breeze's, like, by the end of the game, I felt confident.
Did you
just
say Breeze's?
I did. I think he's resurrected. He's he's being born on Friday.
He is risen. But didn't they take? They took a rib out.
Right. made a woman.
They stabbed
made a woman. you know, I know after the game, Breeze said, you know, he wasn't 100% for the game. Do you think he should have played? I mean, I know he was clear by the doctors.
Yeah.
You know, I know everything, but
yeah, man, every player plays not at 100%. It's okay. It's okay. Breeze at 80% is better than Taysom at 100%.
And I think I mentioned it the other night.
the game plan that we discussed as far as running the ball might have been more relevant if Taysom had played. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, we would have ran the ball more either with Taysom or with the running backs and had more ball control if he had started a quarterback.
I don't know. I really think, honestly, the offensive woes came from the fact that we were thin on the offensive line and we were thin at receiver. That's it.
Which would have read any more into it.
Okay. Like, the best quarterback in the NFL can only do so much with guys you're pulling off the practice squad.
I agree. The receiver situation was dreadful, and then you add Jared Cook's pitiful ass to the mix.
Oh, what is the deal with him?
He's gone after this year.
What's with his attitude?
That was always his thing. The guy's got all the talent in the world, but why has he never been an all-pro tight end? Because he's flaky. He's just a little flaky. He'll come out and he'll make some good plays, but then he makes plays where you're like, go fuck yourself.
It's like he doesn't try. He's flaky. Yeah. But then he did have at the end, in the fourth quarter, I think.
He had a big fourth down catch.
After Breeze had a talking to him, you know.
Yeah. So, some guys just need a little extra motivation, I guess. But
yeah, there was that one time when they did the instant replay, and even who was, I think Romo was saying, like, pause it in the middle, and he wanted to show, like, when they started running the routes, all four, like, the Chiefs were playing man, all four Saints receivers start out, and they're tight. It's right on them. Halfway through the routes, they're still tight on them. There's no separation. The receivers couldn't get separation, and it goes back to, like, somebody like a Michael Thomas or Traquan might have been able to get separated, but these guys, I expected more from Emmanuel Sanders, but maybe he couldn't because he's not a number one.
He's probably double-teamed because they're like, that's the only legit NFL receiver on the field. That's
correct.
It.
So, right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, so then the line's going to break down because the line's too thin. So Breeze has no time to throw to receivers who cannot get open. There is the reason. There's nothing to fix other than, like, health.
You get healthy. Well, can we sign Kenny Stills?
I mean, right now I'd sign anybody.
I mean, if he ain't in the building tomorrow, I don't know what the fuck we're doing.
I mean, look, you brought in AB last year for a tryout,
right?
Why can't you bring in Kenny Stills for a tryout?
At least Stills has experience in this offense. Sure, it's a little different now, but he's got experience with this quarterback in this offense. Yeah. And, I mean, it's a fucking no-brainer to bring him in. If they're not bringing him in, then they're doing something wrong.
Yep.
Because this is Super Bowl or bust. We can't play fucking Juwan Johnson again. We can't.
Right. Yeah, Kenny Stills would be better than that.
And you kind of mentioned the offensive line. I mean, I don't think they had too bad of a game. You know,
I mean, not considering. I'm not saying that they underperformed, but didn't Pete get hurt or something? Who got hurt?
Pete got hurt and he came back. I mean, he struggled. The one thing is, I feel like our run blocking has been not good this year.
And that kind of goes to the interior line issues that we've talked about in the past.
Ruiz.
You know, they can't make holes.
Yeah, and you know, it sucks that we had this truncated offseason because I feel like next year, if we have a regular offseason, like, Ruiz is going to be the center and McCoy is going to kick out the guard. I think that's – Ruiz just ain't cutting it at guard. I think he's a center, you know. And I think we got stuck with a no offseason and – nothing you can do about it.
All right. Let me switch over real quick. On the defensive side, Cam Jordan threw a punch, got himself ejected.
He was being held.
He was being held the whole play on that play. And let's just say I've seen – look, I know he threw a punch. He shouldn't have done it. He admits he threw a punch. But I've seen more egregious things that people have done and not get called – and not get thrown out of games for.
Yeah, but they weren't wearing a Saints jersey.
Wow.
I've also seen Cam Jordan specifically get held, tackled, thrown to the ground, pulled his shirt back for years and never get a holding call on him. So I just assumed, I assumed I can throw a punch because they're never looking. They're clearly not looking at me.
They're looking when they want to.
And well, no, they were looking. They were just okay.
It proves it. They are looking at him.
Right.
Something that we brought up. I brought up on the instant reaction show last night for those who missed it, Jeff. the Chiefs are the number two ranked team for holding penalties in the NFL. They got zero holding calls against them in the game. Mm. Number two in the NFL for holding penalties and got zero calls on them in the game. Can someone explain that to me?
Yes, the NFL is attacking the Saints, as usual.
The refs, you know, and Romero, Dave Romero, if you go check out his Twitter, I guess it's at BS and Beer, he showed a play where earlier in the game, Mahomes threw a ball away. He was in the pocket, threw a ball away because the receiver missed a route, mm-hmm. and the ball just landed. Later in the game, same thing happened. Breeze got intentional grounding. Mahomes got nothing.
Yeah. And look, I mean, I know, right, people you say, oh, we're crackpots for thinking this. No, there is, I mean, there is clear evidence that there is officiating bias against the Saints. There's no way you can't deny it at this point. You can't.
Just like there was election fraud, there was clear evidence.
Oh, God. I thought we were done with this election bullshit.
Did you watch that Saturday Night Live skit with the Jets?
I did not.
I posted a link to it. Y'all got to watch that. That was funny.
But there is clear officiating bias against the Saints. There's no way to escape it. Call me a crackpot. I don't care. But it's there. The stats back it up. I mean, right. Yeah.
Look at the Taysom Hill touchdown that they called not a touchdown. Then they reviewed it and still called it not a touchdown.
Right?
That's the insane thing.
I've seen so many pictures and replays of this play.
We were trained from day one. John Madden taught us that the goal line stretches all the way around the world and back on the other side. It doesn't matter as long as the first part white piece of grass that ball crosses that. It's not the pylon. It's the grass. It's the line. The first line. It breaks the plane. Doesn't matter if the ball is out of bounds. The players wherever. It just has to cross that line that goes around the earth. It clearly did. And they say no, because the ball was out of bounds while it crossed the line.
Who were the ad wizards who came up with that one? we had to waste the fucking challenge.
And we lost the timeout.
I mean, even the replay is tilted against the Saints.
Right, they're showing him like literally. He could walk into the end zone untouched, center of the field, go all the way through the end zone. Replay, nope, nope. They're gonna find a way to pull it out.
That looks inconclusive to me. I mean, I don't know.
We're gonna need you to run that again.
It affected the game because later on, Peyton didn't want to throw a challenge flag on that fumble that was ruled an incomplete pass. You just want to talk about where the lineman caught it?
Yeah. So he would have got it to be a fumble. We take fumble over right there.
Right there, right where he picked it up. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't challenge it because he had already used a challenge. He had a challenge the rest of the game.
Right. But he only had the one. He couldn't get another one. Like, that was it.
Right. He wouldn't have had any more for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
And you never know when something's going to come up.
Yeah. Now, Jose Mejia says the Chiefs ran 92 plays. That was another reason why the Saints couldn't get anything done. The offense was never on the field.
Yep.
I think the Saints, so to 92 plays where the Saints had 34 passing attempts. Was it
52 plays?
Yeah. And that was part of the problem. Another thing.
41 minutes and 14 seconds for the Chiefs. 18 minutes and 46.
I mean, that's like that. If that's the you look at the time of possession, the number of plays run, the Chiefs should have beat us by 17 or 20 points.
Yeah.
And yet here we were. We only lost by three, and we really could have won the game if Anzalone.
If Anzalone recovers it, we won the game.
Well, I mean, Kansas City may play different at the end, but still.
Right.
But the fact that we were even in the game is mind-boggling.
Right. Did you say mind-boggling?
Yeah, I did. You know, it's when your thoughts get all trapped. Like you're in an empty Superdome.
Let me get out of game recap and go into.
I do want to hear that.
Yeah, a little segment with Jason. Jason was at the game. Tell us, what was the game day experience? This is your first game in the COVID era.
First game it was, even when we were kind of texting when I was still at home before we had left, I didn't send it in the text, but I know it was just me. But it's, is it just me, or is it, it just feels weird? It felt really weird because even on the 3 o'clock game, like we're down there by 11 o'clock noon tailgating. So we ended up going to eat at Port au Call, got lunch, and then we drove over because we were allowed, our recommended time to get in was like in between 2 and 2:15. But we ate lunch and we left probably at like 1:15. But driving back through the city towards the dome, and you're driving along in the normal spots where like that's parking lots and you're so used to tailgating, and it's just empty. It's tumbleweeds. There's like maybe a fan or two, a random fan walking, but to be like an actual game day and to just have it be so empty was just, you know, I know, I know this whole year.
How do you know what the Falcons fans feel like on a regular year?
And I don't know how anybody can be a fan of that team, but there they are. And then, yeah, like I sent you guys the picture, like I parked on Poydras right in front of my building, right across from Superdome, just parked there for a regular season game. It's just like, what is going on? And I, and you know, getting up to the concourse, it's just, you know, there are a few people here and there going to the game. It just, everything was so empty. But you
was
had all the
Champion Square, I guess Championship Square was not active. It wasn't doing anything. They didn't have
nothing was active. Nothing was active.
Like nobody was even like, there was nobody selling beer. There was no tailgating. It was just show up and go to the game.
Well, supposedly the mayor, if you try to get a group of people together, they're going to make you disperse. So we parked, I kind of sat in the truck for a little bit, and then we're like, all right, I guess let's just go in.
Like going to movies.
There's nothing else. There's nothing else to do, really. So we got in.
No lie. He, when we started doing the instant reaction show, he called in, he was outside of the dome getting in his car. By the time we finished the instant reaction show, he was home. He was walking in his front door.
Right. No traffic whatsoever.
Nothing.
I mean, it's right. Crazy. I mean, in fairness, it's a 10-minute shot down airline, but still, for a Saints game day, it's crazy. So we got in, we sat down, and there were still 80 minutes on the clock. And I'm like, I mean, really? Because I hate
DJ. What's it? Who's the DJ that plays the music before?
I mean, there was music playing. We were watching the kickers warm up. We were watching the guys warm up for a bit. But the whole thing, the way the crowd was dispersed was strange. So I was in the end zone. To my left was the Saints sideline. Like my end zone section, like there were a lot of chunks, you know, different chunks of people. Like there were some Kansas City fans three seats down from me. There were two Saints fans a couple rows ahead of me. And then on the left sideline, the Saints sideline, there were like, you know, a good splattering of people. On the end zone on the other side, there weren't nearly as many people as in my end zone. And then on the Kansas City sideline, there was barely anybody there. On that, like that sideline, the lower section was pretty much empty. And then there were a few people in the loge on the Saints sideline, and then some people in suites. But it was, I felt it was strange how the crowd was dispersed. It wasn't just an even spreading out
checkerboard
in the lower section. Right. It was very staggered. And then another thing that pissed me off, and I was very surprised, the number of Chiefs fans that were at the game. I guess because of COVID, it just didn't cross my mind that there would be road fans at a game. There were a lot of Chiefs fans,
and they might have been in New Orleans, and like not they didn't come from Kansas City. There's just Chiefs are winning. They've got Pat Mahomes. Just in any, just like you go to a Pelicans game when they play against the Lakers, you're going to end up seeing a lot of Lakers fans that are actually from New Orleans. I think that's what you probably saw. Vincent Burke says they needed Sheldon Cooper in there to find the acoustic sweet spot. That's why everybody was put where they were, to maximize the noise.
Yeah, maybe, but it was, yeah. And it's just, I don't know, that just pissed me off that so many Saints fans sold their tickets. And look, the tickets, you know, they were selling at a good price, so they made some money. But it just, especially for a pandemic when you only have 3,000 in the game, like, don't fucking sell your ticket. Don't be a dickhead. But it was weird because, you know, as the game goes along, they're like, oh, it's third down. Everybody get loud. And it's, we're trying to cheer, but it's with 3,000, it's hard. And it's, I was just sad that we couldn't have a full Superdome for a game like that, because that's one of those games where
wait till the playoffs,
right? It's like, it's crazy. It's a 3 o'clock game. So people would have had all day to tailgate. And it's what makes the dome the dome, and what gives us that home field advantage. And there's just none of it. And I know
imagine being the players, though, having to play like that for all the whole season. I mean, that was your first experience. They've been, that's what they've been playing with for the whole year. And then coming into the playoffs, you're going to have 3,000 people in there for the playoffs.
Yeah. That's
crazy.
Yeah. I was just sad because to miss out, like to miss out on a real dome game day experience for a game like that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe it makes a little bit of a difference. I'd like to think so. Maybe not, but just, you know, it was kind of like, man, and then just sitting in a different seat. And I've mentioned it before, maybe like two or three times I've gone to a game and I haven't sat in my normal seat. And it's always just like, it just feels weird to not sit in my seat.
Yeah.
I'm so used to my seat for the last 15 to 20 years that I've had it. It just feels weird to sit anywhere else.
Well, there you have it.
So, but it was, you know, like I said, I'm glad I got to go, but it just makes me think like, man, fuck COVID.
Yeah. All right. So with that in mind, let's do a very quick NFL reach around, or do we need to? Well, actually, yeah, we do. I don't know why we talk about it when we have no respect for it, but the Pro Bowl announcement did come out. Five
talk amongst yourselves.
Right. Five say this is neither
the Pro Bowl is neither a pro or a bowl. Discuss.
So, I mean, if anything, you know, the NFL popularity contest came out, and let's see, Cam Jordan made it. And I actually feel like maybe this year, you know, I think he got elected. He got thrown in there, voted in there because of his legacy more than what he did this year. I know he's.
Oh, do you playing, think so, Doctor?
He's not playing bad this year. He does have, what, 6.5 sacks. Okay. The guy that's got leading the league in sacks did not make it. DeMario Davis did not make it. Lattimore made it.
Kamara, Armstead.
Armstead and Andrus Peat.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I think Pete's probably having his best year, like Pete's rank, like scoring against himself. But he's still the guy that, like, he's going to end up getting whoever's back there hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite interesting when I came out. And, you know, it is a popularity contest. The all pro selection is more, I think, of what you would want. I did read, I'm almost positive, this is the first year Breeze has not made it since he's been with the Saints. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I just read that somewhere.
It's believable.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. It's a popularity contest. It's just what it is.
That's what it is. Yeah, once they democratized it, they took all the.
Does Jason just not want to talk about this? Is that why he has?
He's on strike.
This is how much I care about the Pro Bowl.
Right, he's doing homework right now.
He's not
even in school.
The only thing that could suck with it. Now, apparently, it didn't matter this year, but certain guys have bonuses tied to Pro Bowl selections.
Stupidest thing ever for a contract.
I mean, it's good because
you have bonuses tied to a popularity contest.
It's the NFL, man. These guys try to get all the money they can, but the Pro Bowl's fucking dumb. I just laugh when people get so angry. Oh, who got snubbed? This guy didn't make it. This guy didn't make it. I'm just like the Pro Bowl just doesn't mean anything anymore. It doesn't. It used to be
almost one of the draw kind of mouth a cool on the thing. Back of his head.
Go for it. Put a penis. But
Jason,
now
we're live streaming.
What's up,
right?
Dickhead?
Yeah, right. But now so many guys also opt out, and there's all these subs. Like it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me
this year, right? So this year, what it really does come down to, like, these guys the reason they're happy about getting selected, or why you'd be upset that like a DeMario Davis or Trey Hendrickson does not get in, is because of, it's not even the bonus that's built into your contract. Like, you get money, you know, you get that free trip to Hawaii, you get the money.
What's not in Hawaii?
Financial.
Yeah, whatever. This year it's a virtual Pro Bowl.
Well, that's
not even a Pro Bowl.
Like, I would hope that they give all these guys, like, hey, we're going to give you at least some tickets to Hawaii for whenever you can travel. You just go on your own.
They won't. It's the NFL. They're not going to give them fucking shit. Yeah.
They'll send them a lay in the mail.
Right.
And I'm not talking about a Russian wife.
And Jose's right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the Saints are not going to participate in the Pro Bowl anyway, because
you're damn right,
they got some other things to do. Much better.
Well, like I said, it's virtual this year, so it's not even like going anywhere.
It should be virtual every year.
It should be. What they should do is put all the players on Madden, like in a Madden game, and let two players.
I bet they will. I bet they will.
You probably get more views than you would for a regular Pro Bowl.
Well, yeah. Actually, I would watch like players play Madden against each other. I would watch that more than I'd watch the Pro Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. They could put it on Twitch.
That's right. Well, all right. That's it. Anything else for NFL Reach Around? We don't need to go around all the games in the interest of time, because we do also have some LSU stuff to talk about. Which we'll do really quickly. We'll consider that as part of a NFL reach around. NFLSU reach around. So Bo Pelini, it is rumored that Bo Pelini will part ways with LSU.
With a nice $5 million buyout. What a fucking racket college coaching buyouts are. Why did we feel the need to give him a fucking buyout? Who was going to hire him as the defensive coordinator? That's terrible on the AD's part right there. Giving him that giant-ass buyout. There's no reason he deserves. All these coaches, like Will Muschamp, is getting paid from two schools for sucking as a head coach. Gus Malzahn's getting like $18 million, $20 million, just to go away. Just like, go away. Here's $20 million.
That's how bad you are that people pay you millions of dollars to leave.
I just don't.
I want to be that bad at something.
Like,
I want to be that bad at something, too.
That it's such a – that to me, I'm just flabbergasted. That is such a goddamn racket.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I also, you know, for those of you who have listened to the Dome Patrol podcast for years and years, our, you know, former New Orleans Saints defensive line coach, current LSU defensive line coach.
You couldn't be talking about
Bill Johnson.
Did someone say Bill Brasky?
He is announced. He's announced his retirement from coaching.
It only took the worst defense in LSU history to do that. After having some of the worst defenses in the NFL history, right.
Bill Johnson ruined the Saints. Early. The day Bill Johnson left the Saints was the day the defensive line became one of the best in the NFL for the next 3 years.
And maybe he'll do the same for LSU.
The day he arrived at LSU, LSU's, which was known for its dominant defensive line, suddenly became less so. Now he's retiring. Guess what? Next year, LSU will lead college football in sacks from the.
Now, you know, we make fun of this guy, rightfully so. The guy's got a Super Bowl ring and a college championship with LSU. Yeah. Not too bad.
He's going to be in the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame too. Because of that. He's a championship coach from both college and.
Isn't that up in Natchitoches, the Hall of Fame?
Yep.
When he gets inducted, you're right there. Like, y'all have to go and pull the whole. We're going to go and pull the whole. Bill Brasky! Suits and beers.
That was his buyout, a suit and a beer. That was his buyout.
That's going to be his retirement gift.
Suit and a beer.
That's awesome. So, yeah, Bill Johnson, guy, we love to hate you. But you know what? At the end of the day, you did you. And you got yourself for the best. He had himself a career.
Right?
Got to give him that.
Yes, I'd kill for that.
All right. What else from LSU? They actually win. They finished the season with a couple of wins.
5-5. Yep. Did not have a losing season.
Yes, which was good, that should bode well, considering where they started. You know, they had a lot of freshmen, a lot of sophomores playing in those last two games. So, you know, they have, you know, the future bodes well. Number 3 recruiting class this year.
Hey, Davis Douglas, howdy, fellas.
What's up? Yeah, they need to hit on the new the new hires.
They got
to
get a good DC. They got to get a good defensive coordinator.
They need good coaches. And like I said before, there's got to be young hotshot defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators. You know, now you've got guys that grew up playing Madden and understand plays.
They guys really out should there. Get a new offensive coordinator too.
I agree.
I don't think they're going.
There's
to.
No reason to
or
go
passing
with
passing coordinator or whatever you want to call it that Joe Brady did. You know, I think it's kind of evident that. I mean, I know he was playing with less, but
right. I mean, look, like Ensminger is fine if you bring in somebody with him. Now, supposedly, like Ensminger just get up and say, "All right, I'm done. He's retiring." That could happen too. But
and I mean, he's up there in age. He should, you know.
It's just the way I look at it. Ogeron's the type of coach where he's the CEO. He runs things, but he needs
right.
You need to bring in the right guys to run your offense, run your defense, and then you manage right. the program and leave the coaching to the coaches. But you got to hit on these coaches.
Yeah, right. If he can chase a defense coordinator down like he chases his tail down, we'll be doing pretty good.
Oh boy!
All right, that's a good note to move on. Let's get into. Pickens.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass. Kiss your ass. Happy Hanukkah.
Jason, what do you got for us?
Well, I know I shouldn't have to ask this again, but how do we treat pushes? Do we just give everybody a win?
Yes, we're generous. Everybody gets
okay.
a win.
Okay. Okay. I like it. So, considering it's a push, out of the five of us that put in our picks last week, because I didn't get Ben's. I don't know if he tweeted them at you, but James went 5-0. Yes.
We don't have Ben.
Okay. Ash, myself, and Scott went 4-1, and you went 2-3.
Me? I went 3-2.
How do you figure?
Washington, Miami, and Arizona.
I had you picking Philly. And I had Scott picking Arizona.
I took Arizona, boy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're trying to do.
I mean, I wrote it down in pen, but it's, you know, it can be scratched out. Okay. All right, then 3-2.
Right,
whatever.
Well, I typed it on a computer.
Whatever. All right. So yeah, I don't have the records for us because you have all that, but yeah, that's where we stand. We all had a good week.
Week. I'll give you the larger league. We've got JTL is with a 600 winning percentage, followed by Ash and me tied for second. Then mm-hmm. Tom Ensign in third. James Carp 2096. Then Jason, Trevor Bruno, Scott. One game behind Jason, by the way. Mordecai, Big Easy Guy John, Davis Douglas. He's watching right now.
There he is. There
Ben,
he is.
Ben drops. Neil. Oh, Ben and Neil, right? Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Neil is right under Ben.
As usual.
Sans Hobbs.
With a cup of tea.
That's right. No, they don't drink tea.
Oh.
Neil might. I don't know. Neil, do you drink tea? James, Ben, and Ash all do not drink tea. All right. That's your larger league. Let's get into the games.
All right. So there are three games on Saturday this week. I think I picked one of those games. You know, the end of the season. The Saints play on Friday, which I don't like, but I guess we didn't get a Thursday game. So I guess it's all right. But then there's three more games on Saturday and then a full slate. So our first game, I think if I'm not mistaken, this is one of the Saturday games. The Miami Dolphins. Coming off a nice win last week against the Patriots, officially knocked the Patriots out of the playoffs. They traveled to Vegas to play a Raiders team that's struggling. They lost to the Chargers on Thursday night. They fired their offensive coordinator, I think. So, you know, for a while it looked like Vegas was going to grab one of those playoff spots, but the AFC is really strong this year. So I don't know that they're gonna make it, but this game's in Vegas. The Raiders are getting 2.5.
I have to figure they'd be getting points.
Yeah.
I'll go first on this one. I'm going to take Miami because Miami is playing for a possible title for their division title still. If Buffalo happens,
it's a little dicey, but they're definitely playing for the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with you as well and take the Dolphins.
A Miami three-way.
So, I mean, it's crazy. You got Buffalo and Miami surging past the Patriots. It looks like the Patriots are over. Finally.
First time Patriots don't make the playoffs since 2008, I believe.
Excellent.
You know, if they had a quarterback, they'd still suck.
Yeah. I mean, Cam Newton sucks, but yeah, they still suck. All right, our next game. Tennessee coming off
Tennessee Titans, Tennessee Titans, something like
that. Well, the Saints have a lot of songs, Tennessee, but anyway.
Destroyed the Lions.
Killed them. 46-25. Crushed them. They travel to Green Bay to play a Packers team that barely beat the – I mean, they beat the Panthers by 8, but Teddy fumbled at the goal line. I was really hoping that the Panthers could have pulled that out, but we can never expect anybody to beat Green Bay when we want. I mean, I think Green Bay is still a fraud. But they're home. They're favored by 3.5 against the Titans. It's a big game.
So Tennessee's getting 3.5. You know what? The Titans are finally going to come through for the Saints and win this game.
Even though, like, if Tennessee beats Green Bay in this game, it means nothing unless Green Bay loses again next week. That's the next week. Is
not necessarily.
Because if we finish, like, there's a three-way, like, if we finish in a three-way tie with Green Bay and Seattle, we would normally get in. But if they lose to Tennessee and win next week, I think because their losses are AFC, because they already lost to the Colts, that gives them the advantage. Like, we need them to lose to the Bears next week.
Right. That's more important, is that they lose to the Bears. Now, they lose both games, we win both. There's no tie. We don't have to worry about it. So let's just let them lose both games.
Right. I'm definitely pulling for Tennessee, and I think Green Bay's a fraud. Give me the Titans.
All right, is Tennessee playing for a possible playoff spot?
Yes, they are. As the season ended now, they would be in. They're also still fighting for a division. They're tied with the Colts at 10-4. I don't know who's got the tiebreaker, but they're still fighting for a home playoff game. Mm-hmm. So they have everything to play for.
Then I'm going to go with Tennessee on this one. I'm picking with my heart.
All right, our next game, the aforementioned 10-4 Indianapolis Colts. They beat the Texans last week 27-20. They travel to Pittsburgh to play a Steelers team who got down early tonight, but
they take Indianapolis.
They've climbed back. The Steelers are only down 7 to the Bengals right now. Jeff takes Indy.
What's the spread, though?
Oh, Pittsburgh favored by 2.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take Indy.
The Colts are getting 2.5. Yeah, I'm taking Indy, too.
God damn it. I don't want to have all the same picks as everybody.
And take Pittsburgh and lose. It's fine.
Pittsburgh sucks. Give me the Colts.
And Davis Douglas says, didn't Buffalo already win the division? This year
they did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Once again, Jeff is dead wrong. All right, our next game, Battle of the NFC West. The Los Angeles Rams somehow, some way, lost to the goddamn Jets.
And even though the Jets won, they lost.
And they lost. And not only that, the Rams never had a lead in this game.
Because the Jets lost number one pick with that win.
Yes. They're technically tied with the Jaguars, but the Jaguars' schedule
the strength of schedule is tougher, so they get the first pick.
Right, right. That's correct, which is just – it's crazy. So the Rams travel to Seattle to play a Seahawks team coming off a nice win. It's crazy to think when you beat Washington, it's a nice win, but Washington's got a good defense. They won 20-15 at Washington. So, Seattle overtook the Rams in the division. Each team has a lot to play for here. This game's in Seattle. Seahawks favored by 2.
I'm okay.
I hate both these teams, and I feel like Seattle is the better team, but I just have this gut feeling that the Rams are going to win, so give me the Rams.
I agree. My thing is this one's for the division.
This is possibly for the division, yeah.
And I think that the Rams lost to the goddamn Jets because they were looking ahead to Seattle.
You would think that's the only way you could lose to the Jets, right?
Yep.
All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Have yourself a shitty little Christmas. May your day be shite.
So we have the Denver Broncos coming off a big loss. Big, 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 big loss against the Bills. They lost 48-19 against the Bills.
That's right.
They travel to Los Angeles to play a Chargers team who somehow found a way to win a game that they usually blow. They beat the Raiders in OT last week, 30-27. So they're sitting there at 5-9. It looks like Justin Herbert, even though I keep wanting to say Hebert, it looks like Herbert is going to be the rookie of the year. This game is in LA. Chargers are favored by 3.
I'm taking the Chargers. I'm telling y'all,
I am also,
Chargers going to be good in the next few years.
I am also taking the Chargers, and I don't think they're going to be good in the next few years.
As long as they fire their coach, they have a chance to be good. If they don't do that, then they will not be good. And I'm going to pick Denver for the upset because I think Anthony Lynn is going to do something stupid, and Denver is going to win when they shouldn't. So that's our games this week. Miami at Vegas. Raiders are getting 2.5 at home. Tennessee at Green Bay. All the Saints fans will be interested in this. Green Bay is favored by 3.5. Indy at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh favored by 2.5. The Rams at the Seahawks. Seahawks favored by 2. And our shitty game, the Broncos at the Chargers. Chargers favored by 3.
All right, everybody. That's going to be all your pick'ems. So let's move into Saints preview.
Out of all the reindeer, you know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Vixen can't be far behind. Run, run, Rudolph. Santa's got to make it to town.
Where the Saints will be playing a Christmas Day game against the Minnesota Schmikings.
You like that Schmikings?
I do. I like it.
It's your new thing.
Trying to make it a thing, right?
Okay.
All right, so this is a game that I feel like it's a must win for the Saints. We have to win this one.
I feel like it's a must win in the sense of it'd be really nice to be able to rest guys in week 17.
Because yeah,
we're not getting the bye. Let's just get, if we can get a home playoff game, fine. But the one thing that last week's game pointed out to me, and Nick Underhill had a great column about it, is that we know how good the Saints could be. They just need to be healthy. That's the number one thing, is we need to get healthy.
Absolutely.
And that's what worried me, and I mentioned it on the show last night, because of all the guys that got nicked up and left the game this week, and now we have a short week on Friday. I think a lot of these guys are not going to play. It's going to be hard, and the Vikings always give us trouble.
Yeah,
even though I don't think the Vikings are any good.
They're really not. And I'm kind of worried about Justin Jefferson having a good game, but honestly, he's really the only real reason.
Thielen's good, and they still have Dalvin Cook.
Who do you think for the Saints is not going to play specifically? I think Michael Thomas, obviously.
I think Marcus Williams will not play.
Okay.
I don't think Traquan's going to play. If he left and couldn't come back, I don't think he's playing. I don't think.
I mean, end up with the same wide receivers we had last game.
Right? Like, did I say Trey Hendrickson? I don't think Trey Hendrickson. I know it's just a stinger. I don't think he plays. I don't think we're going to risk. If nobody's as close to 100%, we're not going to risk guys. And the receiver
maybe
issue.
Maybe we risk it this game to get the win so we can clinch the division and then sit the last game.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's hard to say with a short week, you know? That's or maybe they do the opposite. Maybe they rest people this week and play them next week to go for the sweep in the division.
I hope that's not. I mean, for a fan, that's fine, but I hope the coaches aren't being that obsessed over sweeping the division. But I think.
But I'm saying, if you're going to rest players, you know, I don't know. I don't know what you.
Well, I don't want to leave it to like, hey, we have to beat Carolina to win the division. Like we still need to go all out and win this game, and if we do, great, then we sit players, right? Because I'm sure they would still rather
in between the playoff games,
right,
and not
right,
play at all,
right? But I'm sure they would also still rather play a game in the dome if they can, because at least that way they don't have to travel.
They get the number two seed. They're playing two games in the dome.
No, they're not.
Yeah, wild card and divisional round.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right.
The only way they play away is if Green Bay wins, and then for all we know, Green Bay loses the divisional round, and the NFC Championship game is in New Orleans. So yeah, you want to hold on to the two.
Wow, that's crazy in this weird season. Not once that, because I just figured, oh well, there's no second bye. It just like my brain just shut off, thinking that we would actually host two playoff games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seven teams now. The number two hosts two games.
Yeah. No.
So it's the short week. If the game was Sunday, and it's crazy, like 2 days makes that. Does 2 days make that big of a difference? Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, it does.
So it's because it's a Friday game that you have to entertain this idea of like a Trey Hendrickson. Maybe, you know, it's a stinger. or Marcus Williams not playing. Now, when Marcus Williams went out, who took his place?
We had PJ Williams at safety.
Oh, that's right, Williams. Okay.
I know he confused you with the last name.
No, but for real, I didn't notice that drastic of a drop. So I could see Marcus Williams sitting out and letting PJ kind of cover for Minnesota.
I think we know we need Marcus to win. I mean, at this point, you know, your end game is the Super Bowl. Home games are right. Nice, but at the end of the day, if you ain't healthy, you ain't winning.
That's right. And then Trey Hendrickson too. Like, you could probably let him sit out and still have an effective.
I mean, you still have Jordan line. And Davenport.
Right. You can win. Like you said, Minnesota's not that great of a team that you need full strength to beat.
Well, but you also can't afford to look past teams because it's.
I understand.
NFL,
you know? I agree.
You can't.
I'm but worried about the offensive side of the ball. I think.
Yeah.
So if we were to side. Like if we right. were to sign Stills, I don't think he wouldn't have enough time to pass the COVID protocols to even play this week, right?
Probably not if the game's on Friday. No. Like they would have to, yeah.
So we're gonna have right. We're gonna go in so with practice squad.
Why can't they just line Kamara up as a receiver, Taysom Hill as a receiver, and let Murray play running back?
I said that yesterday.
Yeah,
I mean, why don't we do something like that?
And maybe they will this time. You know, I mean, you still had a healthy Traquan, the healthy Sanders. You know, they weren't expecting to play all three of those guys at wide receiver, you know.
And where's our real big fish? Where is he?
Yeah.
This is about time in the year where he needs to step up and make some plays.
Cook playing like shit.
They're still trying to do with Cook. I mean, get Cook out the fucking game and put Troutman in.
Line Cook up as a receiver. Fuck, he's bigger than a cornerback.
Right.
I mean, he's not going to put forth the effort, but look, we're gonna have to try some weird shit here because
let him be a slant.
Put him at receiver and put Troutman at tight end and use Cook as a decoy.
Yeah, because
have a body covering him.
We cannot go into this game playing Juwan Johnson, Lil Jordan, and Tommy Lee Lewis.
Kirkwood doing?
Oh God! What about who's our famous blocking receiver? Number 16? No. Number 16. He was on the team forever. Number 16.
Austin Carr?
No.
Carr.
No.
Carr.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Did he get hurt? Maybe?
I thought he was.
How the fuck am I blanking?
He played earlier this season, didn't he, Carr?
On Facebook. Why am I blanking? Why am I blanking on Saints number 16? He was a great blocker. He was a big guy. We thought he was going to mount to something. He didn't.
Coleman?
That's it. Coleman.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. What's Coleman doing? I mean, that's how desperate we are. We have no receivers.
It's like calling up your old ex-girlfriend. Right. Hey, what's up?
It's like, hey. Which is
only Dez Bryant had son with the Ravens.
Well, right? It's also crazy to think like I know the one Saints problem has been pressure up in the interior offensive line. We struggle. So that's why they drafted Ruiz. But man, it'd be nice to have another receiver on the roster.
They went after Sanders. They got Emmanuel Sanders and Traquan. I mean, who could have predicted that all three of your receivers, your 1-2-3 receivers, would be hurt at the same time?
What was wrong with Traquan?
It has been foretold.
I think it was an ankle. So I mean, I don't think he's going to play this week.
I don't know.
Never know. Maybe.
Well, another big loss has been Deontay Harris. You know, in addition to Palm returns, just all those.
Okay, how long has he been out? He's been out for three games.
They
put him on IR.
What's wrong with him?
They said it's a neck. It's a neck thing.
Oh, didn't he take a weird hit or something?
But that's the thing. Like even just on not
what about
outside of special teams.
Is Callaway coming back this week?
We put him on IR, but I assumed he was ready to.
Callaway,
at some point, he would come back. Callaway. I know you said Galladay on the instant, but it's Callaway.
Did I?
Yeah. Whatever.
Callaway.
I mean,
Callaway.
Right. It's crazy to think that we're pining for. Oh, Callaway, please come back. Where's Callaway?
Anybody?
But like, it sucks that's how desperate we are at receiver because this team, healthy, can beat anybody. I would put us up against anybody healthy, and yet we're not healthy, and that's,
if they don't draft Jamar Chase, we riot.
Well, we're not going to have a chance to draft DeMar Chase because we ain't picking fifth. We're picking 32nd. So
that's right.
He might drop.
It just 32.
We need.
It just, you know,
health. Helaire went 32.
Yeah, well, it's just, health is so important. That's yeah. It's health.
Yeah. All right. Besides that, I mean, do you have any concerns about the Vikings? I mean, let's, like, even with all of our injuries, what are our odds? What are your score predictions? How do you beat this? What is the Vikings' weakness?
Everything, but if I had to choose.
I mean they're, is Jefferson really their only threat?
I mean, Thielen's good.
They have Cook,
Jefferson, and they still have Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
But we tend, I mean, we gave up a lot of rushing yards this week, but we were playing for the pass, so I get it.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. I'm worried. Hopefully the defense, like, you know, playing 92 plays on defense and having to turn around and play on Friday, it seems like it's a recipe for disaster. I still think we're a better team, but with the circumstances.
I know we're a better team, but it's just, yeah, it's just, right. It's hard to predict really just because of the injuries and the short week. Like if it was just a short week, that'd be different. Or if it was just injuries, because you just don't know who's going to be able to come back that quick.
Right.
And that's just the big thing.
It's really going to be good offensive game plan, good execution. Let's use the healthy players that we have. Find a way to run the ball. Right, to get the ball to Kamara and get the ball to Murray. Like, we know Murray's good. We need to have a good game plan and execute the run game. We just have to.
Well, that's how you save the defense. Right. The one place that we're not injured is running back. Let's use them.
Yeah.
Not a bad thought.
All right, score prediction.
I'm going to say this one's a low-scoring affair. I'm going to go 20-10 Saints.
Wow. I'll go 27-17.
All right. I'm going to go 21-20 Saints.
Ooh.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah. I don't either. But I don't think it's going to be a fun one.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Right. You make sure you get a lot of eggnog, everybody.
Right. I mean, look, we're already going to be up watching the Pelicans at 11. So we got the Pelicans game and then we got the Saints.
Yeah.
Game.
Yeah. New Orleans has a Christmas sporting Christmas.
Please work out in our favor. Please. Right. Baby Jesus. Sweet baby Jesus.
Sweet 5-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus.
Right.
All right. Final thoughts, anybody?
Just Merry Christmas, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us through this crazy year, and hope everybody is safe and infection-free and virus-free, I guess is the better word, as Jeff coughs into the microphone.
Itchy vaccine.
I just hope everybody has a – don't get the vaccine. Don't get the vaccine. Please don't get the vaccine. Anyway, everybody have a Merry Christmas.
Why do you care if other people get the vaccine?
Because I don't want the zombie apocalypse to happen, Jeff.
Oh my God.
Let's move on. Where's my tinfoil hat?
That is Scott's just got this.
Jesus. So that's how it started.
That's exactly how it starts. Anyway, have a Merry Christmas. Have a safe Christmas.
I feel so much better quitting The Walking Dead like 4 years ago.
You're missing out. I will say, that would be the story of this year for at least Saints fans and everything that went on with the Saints is that like we will get win the NFC championship, but then the Super Bowl's canceled because this is a zombie apocalypse.
Zombie Breeze.
Right. he could play for another, forever after that.
Right. Right.
Oh, he gets hit and his arm will fall off or he'll get cut in half. Like literally.
So will the guy hitting him. They're all zombies. Jason, you got any final thoughts?
Just Merry Christmas. Let's look forward to, as the Saints season winds down, hopefully they get healthy. And then we got the Pelican season to look forward to. So,
and LSU basketball and baseball season coming up.
Let's hope the vaccine works and we don't all turn to zombies and we can slowly get back to normal.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, and Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. Follow the Dome Patrol Podcast on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Follow the BS and Beer Saints Podcast at BS and Beer Media. Follow Taking the Over at Taking the Over. Follow us on Facebook right here. If you're watching, you don't have to do it because you're already watching. Maybe you do have to do it because you're watching and you didn't follow. Anyway, we do live streams, and that's what's happening right now. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast on Facebook. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, doggies.
Bye-bye, Grogu donkeys. I'm gonna give the coach a big kiss. Ooh, good night.
Do that, nation.
On Jackson and Weimar and Johnson! Ho, ho, ho! On...